Farmer Bank Field. 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Jeff Lagerman.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is time for Jaguars Today. Today at 1010 XL World Headquarters, 9090 Hogan Road. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jeff Lagerman here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tuesdays brought to you by Kenny Lay and Associates. DivorceMenOnly.com. Guys, we'll talk plenty of Jaguar football today, but today we continue along with the Tom Coughlin J-Fund Radiothon 2015 version last year through the generosity of the listeners out here in Jacksonville. Jeff, the 1010 XL crew helped raise over $70,000.
Very strong.
$75,000 is the goal for today, for this year, and we'd love to blow that out of the water, $80,000. I'd love to do $100,000.
Yeah, why not?
You know what? Whatever you can afford to give, if you can afford to give it, we'll take whatever kind of donation. Now, we're soliciting $96 donations at the number 904-207-7070. That's 904-207-7070. Give a one-time gift of $96, and that's what we seek. But if you can give $50, that's great. If you can give $250, that's fantastic. Give what you can, and it's going to be greatly appreciated and put to great use right here on the First Coast.
Yeah, and we had the opportunity to have Kelly Coughlin in studio with us a couple weeks ago down there at Everbank, and 96 is a significant number. That's the number they estimate of families here on the First Coast that are dealing with this issue right now. So it's your opportunity. These are families that are in your community that are dealing with childhood cancer. I can't imagine being in a room with a child where a doctor walks in and says your child has some form of cancer, and just what that must do to your world, not only trying to figure out how you're going to take care of your child and make sure that they get well, do everything you can for them, but the burden emotionally, the burden financially that these families go through. That's where the J Fund steps in. It helps them directly, even if it's just gas, so that they can go back and forth to the hospital.
Sure.
And see their kid and make sure that they can be there for that child. This is your opportunity to step in where these families need the most help. $96 right now, 207-7070.
If you saw a family with a kid who just got diagnosed with cancer and they said, hey, could you give us one single dollar to help us out?
Anything.
You'd probably do it, right?
Yeah.
So give $1 to each of those 96 families that are going to be impacted this year, and let's hope we get to a point where the J Fund's no longer needed. But for now, it is, and it's a great thing that we have it because they have done phenomenal work over the years here on the First Coast. We'll talk with a couple of family members of kids that have been impacted by this diagnosis in recent years and what the J Fund has done for them coming up. Jeff, we'll also talk plenty of Jaguar football today. And that's
two great topics.
Two outstanding topics. And unfortunately for the Jags, it wasn't an outstanding result, final result, as my wife, she's a fringe. You know, she went to the game. It's not like she doesn't understand football, right? She gets football. She's pretty competent. You know, she doesn't know every intricacy of it. She goes, a lot of red zone problems, huh? I'm like, where did you?
She knew the term.
I said, where did you hear that?
Nice.
She goes, that's all anyone's talking about. Apparently there's an issue in the red zone. I'm like, yeah, you're right. That's how inescapable it was. My wife, God bless her, is smart enough not to listen to me on a daily basis. Actually, she's a working mom, so she doesn't have the opportunity to do that. But she doesn't listen to sports radio. But it permeated, Jeff, the atmosphere out there. Everyone's talking about
red zone. How many times did we talk about it in pregame? And we talked about it on television.
Absolutely.
Talked about it on Jaguars.com. I mean, it's an issue with this football team. And, you know, typically it's the last thing to develop when you're talking youth, you know, because, just think about it. I mean, from a real estate perspective or a numbers perspective, the field shrinks. You know, when the field shrinks, I mean, if you think about, okay, if the ball's at the 20 yard line, the amount of square yardage that's available versus the number of guys that are in coverage, you know, people have to cover less ground. And it's fairly simple. And so it's tighter windows, it's more timing, it's more knowledge required, and that takes time. You know, and if you ever wanted to see the two opposite ends of the spectrum, we saw it in that ball game. You have one quarterback who was starting his 155th career game and another one who was starting his 24th career game. And Phillip Rivers knew pre-snap a lot of times where he needed to go with the ball and really was disciplined with his eyes and setting things up, whereas Blake is trying to read. And that's the difference. You know, and it comes with time with a quarterback. And I also think that it comes with time with a quarterback to be able to get you in the right play that gives you the greatest chance for success, because you talk about play calling mattering. In the red zone, it significantly does because the windows are smaller.
And one of the things that Gus Bradley brought up after the game was, you know, a lot of questioning. Well, you've got a team in San Diego who's not been good against the run, and you had three consecutive trips to the red zone where you went three passes in a row, right? And it didn't work out for you. And Gus pointed out that they had had several runs called there, but you give your quarterback, if you trust him, at least a run-pass option, if not the liberty to check to something completely different. But Blake Bortles apparently checked out because of the look San Diego gave him, and San Diego at the snap then would drop a bunch of guys into coverage, and they were, you know, they were confusing a young quarterback.
That was the look they hadn't shown.
Right. It was a new look that he hadn't seen on film.
And Philip Rivers will simulate a snap count and make it look real, you know, as opposed to kind of looking real to where you, and also a lot of times Philip Rivers doesn't have to look at the number of guys that are at the line of scrimmage to determine what you're trying to do. He can look in the secondary and say, well, they're showing this up front. But I can see, you know, from film study and experience that this guy is lined up here. I know that they're showing something up front, but what they're really going to play is this. You know, and that's a hard thing to really understand and grasp, you know, for a young quarterback. And a lot of people say, well, boy, Blake Bortles, he's got to be better than that. Well, it takes time to be better than that. You know, you need to have the experience and the exposure to be able to go to the line of scrimmage and say, ah, I know what they're trying to do. You know, it just takes time, and it's no reason to be mad at Blake Bortles or to be disappointed in Blake Bortles. It's just part of the growth process for a young quarterback.
It's, you know, again, in terms of the game plan going in, I thought it was going to be a heavy usage game for T.J. Yeldon. It started out that way.
Yeah, and I think that most people would have thought that. I mean, when you look at the rankings, I mean, San Diego's defense, you know, not very good against the run, like 26th in the National Football League, and you think, okay, that's an area that...
I think, Tony, you even said worse yards per carry, right?
4.9 yards a carry.
Yeah, which is very high.
Yeah.
Which is very high, so you would think that's some an area. And then they also had two defensive linemen that were coming into the game that were questionable. Corey Legit and then also Sean Lismore, both of them were questionable, so they came into the game banged up. They both ended up playing. They've been rolling a lot of linebackers through, you know. But early in that ball game, I thought that the Chargers showed that they were pretty stout against the run. The young linebacker that they have, Denzel Perryman, a second-round pick that they got from the University of Miami, was a great find. He has made a dramatic improvement in their defense over the last number of weeks. They'd been playing Donald Butler. And Perryman has been a big upgrade, particularly against the run, because Perryman's a short, stout Sam Mills type of guy. You know, he's only like 5'11", but he plays the run incredibly well. So, you know, I'm not upset because, you know, I think that if you look at the Jaguars offensively, TJ has been good. He hasn't been great. You know, the offensive line has been good. They haven't been great in run blocking.
Don't you have to give him a chance, though, against a team like that to see if he can have a great day?
I think you give him a chance, but at the same time, I think the game conditions dictate a lot of that. And when you get down like they were in the second quarter, all of a sudden you feel the presence or the awareness that, hey, look, we got to start getting some points on the board to build a little momentum and to get this thing back to being even, and then we can maybe get back to what we originally planned. But, you know, the strength of the Jaguars right now is the passing game. You know, even though you have a second-year quarterback and second-year wide receivers across the board, the strength is Blake Bortles, Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson is starting to become Julius Thomas. So I don't have a problem with play calling because that is a strength. You know, even though the red zone issues are there and Blake Bortles' numbers drop significantly when he gets in the red zone, it's still a strength.
Well, we can debate that as we go along today if you want to. 55 dropbacks, because Blake eventually took off six times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 55 dropbacks, 12 handoffs to the tailbacks in that if you take the Bortles scrambles out of that and the Marquise Lee reverse. But we'll talk about that as we go along today. And again, 641-1010, the number for us. But most importantly today, if you can only call one number, make it 904-207-7070. That's 904-207-7070, asking for a one-time gift of $96 or anything you can give to be there for families tackling childhood cancer through the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation, the 2015 Radiothon, our goal today, to raise $75,000 across the day. I don't care when it comes. You know, we're all competitive. We all want to do great. And look, If you want to call in the next show or the afternoon show, call whenever. Just call. Doesn't really matter. The bottom line is what matters, and we appreciate anything you give whenever you give it. And today we don't have a question of the day because we really want to focus more on the J-Fun Radiothon aspect of things. And we'll certainly take your phone calls, as we said, and your texts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at 641-1010. But I love this already, getting a tweet from @JagInFlight. He challenges all Bold City Brigade members to match his $120 donation to the TCJ Fund. We greatly appreciate that. If you want, I'll tell you what, I'm open for any kind of bidding, Tony. I know somebody today made a bid. They're going to bid across the day. They're going to bid $96 per show. Mm-hmm. And the morning guys talked him into donating it all in the morning if Jeff Prosser joined Twitter, which he had resisted doing up until this point in time. A couple years ago, Duval Doom made a donation over $100 to get unblocked. He's the only person, Jeff, that's ever come out of my blocked pile on Twitter.
Wow.
I blocked like 10 people, but I looked the other day, I blocked a good about 80.
I have people constantly tweeting me like, can you ask Mike to unblock me? I'm not as much of a jerk as I was last time.
Call in and, or make a donation, or call Tyler or whatever the case may be, and let him know that you're going to make a donation and give me your Twitter handle. I'll unblock you. Or if you want me to block you so you don't have to see my tweets.
You'll take 96 for that too,
I'll
right?
I'll do whatever you need me to do within reason that I can do to facilitate you donating to this great cause. So we appreciate Jag and Flight and everybody else. If you want to call in on the air, challenge your coworkers, challenge a particular fan base. Maybe you're a Georgia Tech fan. You want to challenge your fellow Yellow Jacket fans, or you want to challenge Georgia Bulldog fans to top you. However you want to do it, we're all on the same team today as far as that goes, because it all benefits First Coast families directly right here, and a ridiculous, like 96%, 96 cents out of every dollar or something like that. Very,
it's an amazing number.
I mean,
most of the charities are, you know, good charities are typically 20%.
Something, right? I mean, it's crazy, you know, Jeff. You give them a dollar and almost every penny of it is directly going to help people, so you can feel really good about that. There are always some administrative costs in it, but they keep it to a bare minimum. Visit tcjfund.org, by the way, for more information. And it's a great organization to support year-round, not just on the day of the Radiothon. But if you can, give what you can. $96 means, you know, you can fill up a family's gas tank. You can put groceries on the table. Maybe you pay utilities for a month. Whatever the case may be, we encourage you to do that. And we'll continue to encourage you all throughout the course of the day. But if you want to talk Jaguar football with Jeff Loggeman, you're certainly welcome to do that as well at 904-641-1010. We'll come back. We'll hear from Gus Bradley. We'll tell you more about what the J Fund is doing, not only today, but all year round to help families here on the First Coast. And we're happy to do it. And our goal, again, smash that $75,000 barrier today throughout the course of the day, and the number is 904-207-7070, 904-207-7070, asking for that one-time gift of $96, whatever you can afford. If you can go well beyond that, we'll take it. You want to go $9,600, we'd be happy to do that. Heck, I'll make you the Thursday sponsor of the show for this week if you donate $9,600. How about that? You can be an individual person. I don't care. It can be brought to you by anything, even including the Jacksonville chapter of the Tennessee Titans fan club, if there is such a thing, which I doubt. But $96, I'll sell out the show for $9,600 to the J Fund. That's what it would take, though, to get the Titans mentioned in a good light.
Is there a line you will draw?
That's pretty close to it. I'm sure there is, Jeff, but I don't want to speak about what would be on the other side of that line on the air. It would probably scare you. So we'll leave that alone. He's Jeff Loggeman, along with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars today on a Tuesday, brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. We roll on in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more with Jeff Loggeman, brought to you by Roland Reach Plumbing on Jaguars Today, 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we continue along Jaguars Today this morning. Mike Dempsey, Pat Tony, Jeff Loggeman here with you. And do call us at 904-207-7070, 904-207-7070 to support the Tom Coughlin J-Fund Radiothon and the great work that the Tom Coughlin J-Fund does here on the First Coast. We're asking for a one-time gift of $96 or whatever you can afford. If you can do more, that's phenomenal. We've had a challenge to the Bold City Brigade from one of their members, @JagInFlight, on Twitter, donated $120 and is asking all Bold City Brigade members to match that. By the way, they're putting some some numbers out there for us to yeah. challenge ourselves, Tony, based on what we've been able to do over the past years. And Prosser and Hicken, in the last hour of the drill, thanks to the generosity of the folks around the First Coast, raised $12,724.
Nice.
Pretty good for 1 hour.
Really nice.
That's outstanding. You know, so we hope to approach something like that at some time over the course of the next hour or so. But so you got a high bar out there, Jaguar fans. This is the show for you.
We got a Bold City Brigade member that's challenging everybody to donate $120 to match his donation. I know there's more than 100 members of the Bold City Brigade. Where are you at? We just need 100 of you to donate that, and we're at that kind of number again.
That's 12 grand right there.
Come on, guys. Get with it.
Math major Tony Smith.
That was pretty quick, Tony.
It was good. He had the entire break to cook that up, though, I think.
Right. Add two zeros.
We're going to welcome in Kim Buff in a moment. She is the mom of a young man who was diagnosed with cancer, pre-B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Then no one should even know what that is, right? It should never mind have that be something that impacts your family directly. So we'll speak with Kim here coming up in a couple of minutes. We wanted to hear a couple of thoughts from your head coach, Gus Bradley, here on Jaguars Today, speaking yesterday with a day to digest everything that went down in their loss to San Diego over the weekend. Here's how he opened up yesterday's proceedings.
You know, the key for us in yesterday's game was red zone. Third down on really both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. Defensively, they had five trips in the red zone. They came away with four touchdowns and a field goal, or 31 points on third down, 6 for 14 for 43%. You know, that was the story of the game, I think, defensively. Offensively, defensively, we tried to throw some different looks at them, came up with some different things. I thought, for the most part, in the field area, the new things that we brought up played pretty well. I think we struggled in the red zone. You know, overall, we knew, you know, they would get the ball out quick and the rush would have a big impact on the game. We only had two sacks. I don't know, you know, a couple pressures, I think, but overall didn't get to them as much as we needed to. Special teams, I thought, had a solid game. I know we missed the extra point. Their punt returns, they had a couple long punt returns. But overall, the kickoff coverage team, the, you know, the punt block that was crucial, the field goals that we made, all those were really good as far as the special teams. I think the last 2 weeks, our special teams unit has really come along.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you kind of forget about the missed extra point because it really didn't have any
impact
on the game.
Right. You know,
so. And he made all his other kicks. But, Jeff, in terms of getting pressure on Phillip Rivers, I think there was a point Bob Babbage said, you know what, when we send guys, he's so good against the blitz, he's picking us apart a little bit here. So they started rushing three at times, three or just the four base guys, and you kind of get caught in no man's land. We talked about this after the New England game. What do you do? If you send pressure, he's so good against it, he's probably going to hit some big plays. But if you don't and you give him enough time to read what's going on, he's going to pick you apart maybe a little more slowly.
Yeah, and time is not really much of an issue when it comes to Phillip Rivers. I mean, he gets the ball out, I think, second fastest in the National Football League, right around 2.3 seconds. I think Tom Brady is the fastest. You know, so it's difficult to get pressure, but you still want to affect them, even if you're not getting home and getting sacks and getting hits. And in that game, they were missing a starting right guard and a starting left tackle. So you like to have seen, even though it's not a game that you would get six or seven sacks, to at least affect him more than you did, because they were missing 40% of their offensive line, and the ones that were in there aren't that good.
Right.
I mean, but that's something that we've talked about all year long. And I think that it will continue to be a conversation for this football team until next year, because you're not getting a lot of production out of the pass rush. And until you get pass rushers that are consistent and good, then that's going to be an issue.
You're telling me there's not a lot of pass rushers available as street free agents right now in week 12 of the National Football League?
No,
season.
They're kind of hard to come by.
They are, aren't they? Everyone's, you know, we hear that all the time. Why do they play this guy? Why do they play that guy? Well, they see him in practice every day. They think they're the best options that they have available to them. And I'm quite sure Dave Caldwell is on the lookout for what's available out there. It's just everyone is. I mean, it's hard to find that.
Everybody wants one. That's why they used a high pick on Dante Fowler. Because the Leo position is a premium position in the Jaguars' defensive scheme. I mean, he's a guy that essentially pass rushes every play. And the 4B, the nose tackle, aren't really a factor in pass rush. The 3 technique, well, your 3 technique is now on injury reserve with a torn tricep and was coming back from an ACL. The guy you were expecting to be the Leo, the most impactful pass rushing position, is on injury reserve from the first day of rookie minicamp. You know, so it's something that has to get better personnel-wise, and it has to get better from what you have elsewhere. You know, and that's why the Jaguars, I know that, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago that they signed a guy who was a relatively high pick that had an ACL, and I can't remember.
Quantaro Smith.
Yeah, they signed him. I mean, so that's the things that you have to do to try to rectify that position or the positions, because when you get to a sub package, you're essentially playing two Leos as your outside guys. I mean, so that's going to be, I think that will be addressed again in the offseason and free agency, and could be addressed again in the draft at a very high spot. Now, I'm not talking first round, but second, third, that could be a position that they go after it again.
All right, more from Gus Bradley coming up here shortly on Jaguars Today with Jeff Loggeman, Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey here with you as we welcome in Kim Buff, who is the mom of Matthew Buff, as they are fairly recent residents of Jacksonville coming from Minnesota. And as we mentioned a moment ago.
It's Minnesota.
Minnesota. by the way, I know Fargo is in North Dakota, but there are some characters from Minnesota on Fargo. Let's welcome in Kim Buff right now. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me here and giving me the opportunity to talk about childhood cancer and the J Fund during the holiday season.
You sound nothing like the characters on Fargo, by the way.
give her a minute. Give her a minute.
I'm actually from upstate New York, so just temporary in Minnesota.
There you go. Temporary in Minnesota. Yes. Well, we're glad you're here on the First Coast now. Tell us, take us back to, you know, what has got to be every parent's worst nightmare when you found out that your son Matthew was facing, again, a diagnosis of pre-B cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia.
Yes. Matthew was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia in 2009 when he was 8 years old. They call it acute because that's how it happens, very, very quickly. The week before diagnosis, Matthew was a typical 8-year-old boy wrestling with his dad on the ground, playing basketball, playing football under the dome in Minnesota in the middle of winter. And just a week later, you know, we were walking our son into the oncology clinic, a place where no child should ever have to walk into, watching him on the exam table, being told that it's most likely leukemia, but they have to run some tests first. Taking him to the operating room, watching them put him under to have some tests run, a bone marrow aspirate, and injecting chemotherapy into his spinal cord just to be for a just-in-case scenario, in case he had leukemia. So that's where it started. From there, once the diagnosis was confirmed, he had a portacath placed into his heart artery to make treatments less painful and less pokes. It's hard to say that the amount of pokes he had was actually less because of it. And starting his first dose of chemo within 24 hours.
Wow.
So it just happens very rapidly. And again, that's why they call it acute.
I'm going to skip ahead. We've got like a litany of possible questions here for you. How is Matthew doing right now?
Matthew's doing great. His protocol for leukemia was 3.5 years, and he finished about 3 years ago, so now he's been off treatment just about as long as he was on. He's doing great. He's 15. He's a sophomore at Creekside High School, and he's 6'4" tall at 15 years old.
Good
so,
Lord.
Yeah.
Nice. save mom and dad some money on that scholarship that he could earn in some sport of his choice, perhaps. But
you know, we asked for the one-time donations today, $96 at 207-7070 if you want to give, 904-207-7070. And we talk about, you know, it's the impact that it has as far as just what it does for families to kind of fill that gap and the things that you don't necessarily think about when this kind of diagnosis comes down. Kim, can you talk a little bit about what happened within your family, the stress in the home that something like this can cause?
Well, because we were transplants and we were living in Minnesota at the time, like I said, we're from upstate New York, we didn't have family close by. And we were still just making roots in that area. So we felt very alone and very isolated. And it was hard to make connections with other parents and other families just due to hospital HIPAA laws. It's difficult. And when you're in the hospital in your treatment zone, you kind of have that warrior face, and you're not really looking to make relationships. This is something that the J Fund helps families to do in this area, and we were so thankful that when we relocated, we saw that it was available for families. They bring them together, they hold events. It's an opportunity for parents to connect, for siblings to find each other. Often siblings are the family member that's most affected by it, because all of a sudden their world shifts and their parents' attention is completely focused on their sick sibling, and they feel left out and kind of in the way sometimes. So this is something that the J Fund can do to help lighten that burden emotionally and practically for families.
But what year did you move to Jacksonville, and what impact has the J Fund had on your family?
Yeah, we moved just last summer. And I had been following the J Fund for some time, even from Minnesota. We see Coach Coughlin with his gold pin on at the sidelines, and we know, hey, that's childhood cancer. I'm interested, and I want to know more. So when we moved here, one of the first things that I was excited about moving here was knowing the J Fund existed. Immediately, my son was introduced into a teen group, something that we didn't have in Minnesota, where he could meet some other children going through diagnosis, which was wonderful for him. And for me personally, being able to meet other families in the area was healing.
You've got your own group that you started called Momcology, and the way it's been described to me is it helps fill the gap of emotional support for mothers and primary caregivers of children with cancer, and you're an online community. How did that come about? Obviously, I mean, I know why you would want to start something like that, but how did you get that going, and what has that connection been like with the J Fund as well?
Right. Well, that started in about 2011. Again, I was feeling very isolated, started to make some connections in community, and all of a sudden the burden of just feeling so isolated was lifted by being able to connect with other parents who really understood what we were going through. I often say J Fund is be there, and Momcology's kind of been there. So kind of the best way to know what's ahead, what lies next, is to be able to talk to people that have already experienced it, and that's what we do. We're mostly an online community. We have we're international. We have about 100 new members per month that are pediatric cancer families who find us, and we love being able to direct them to resources that can help them immediately, and J Fund is one of those resources.
Kim Buff joining us here in studio. And Kim, you start Momcology, you wind up here in Jacksonville, you knew about the J Fund before you got here. Could you just tell us why you think it's important for the people that are listening right now to they have this opportunity to be there for families here on the First Coast and give to the Tom Coughlin J Fund? Why do you think that's important?
I think it's absolutely important. As a pediatric cancer family and somebody that was fortunate enough to be able to get through this and have a child get through this and come out okay through it and being able to give back to other families in need, we get pretty particular about the organizations we choose to support. J Fund is definitely one of those organizations because we know I can immediately tell where their heart is, and it's with the families. They want to help. And when you support J Fund Foundation, you're not just helping a family with a bill that happens to be on their table that's overdue. You're helping them rebound from this diagnosis through their financial planning help, through the connections they make in the community. It really is a family diagnosis, and J Fund really helps become part of your family post-childhood cancer.
The number to do that is 904-207-7070. You're going to hear stories all day long, and it rips me up every year. But, you know, it's a great thing that Matthew's doing well now, and we're happy for you and your family, and we think that's wonderful. And that's some of the story that needs to be highlighted as well, that the people do survive and come out the other side. And I know the J Fund has helped a lot of families, you know, give them the tools to deal with it, but to deal beyond that, financial planning. They do scholarships. They do all kinds of things for the emotional support of these kids and the families, as well as the financial support. Kim, we're happy things seem to be going in a good direction for you, and we'll hope that it continues to do that. And welcome to the First Coast. We're glad you're here, and we're glad Momcology got started, and we hope there's a time when Momcology is no longer needed. But for the time being, it seems like you're doing a great thing there.
Thank you so very much, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm going to be giving my $96 on the way out.
There you go. Kim Buff, ladies and gentlemen, and her son Matthew and the whole family. We're very happy for those guys.
6'4", my goodness.
6'4", at the age of 15 right now, and he's going to eat mom out of house and home. But, you know, for Kim and her family, the J Fund has been there for them. You can be there for an entirely new batch of families that deal with this diagnosis on a daily basis sometimes. 904-207-7070. That's 7070. Call right now. This is the one time that I will beg, plead, and annoy you to look. If you like the show, donate money as a way of thanking us for putting the show on. If you hate the show and want to hear less of me, donate money and make sure you pass that message along, and I'll take a day off next week. How about that? And we all win, all right? The J Fund, give what you can, 904-207-7070. Again, Bold City Brigade's been challenged on Twitter to match Jag and Flight's donation of $120. So as many of you out there as you can, if you want to top that, if you want to tell them that's just a sissy number and you want to go 200, you're welcome to do that. You can go 1,000. You can go as much as you like, because all this money is going to impact families directly here on the First Coast, and it's a wonderful thing. Thanks again to Kim Buff for joining us. More from Gus Bradley coming up with Jeff Loggin and with Fat Tony. It's Jaguars Today on a Tuesday, brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hi, I'm Troy Aikman, and you're listening to Tom Coughlin, J-Fun Radiothon on 1010XL, Jacksonville Sports Radio.
When cancer strikes First Coast kids, the J-Fun provides financial, emotional, and practical support. I'm New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin.
Call 207-7070.
Please give a one-time or recurring $96 gift now.
Now more with Jeff Loggeman, brought to you by Roland Reich Plumbing on Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, we continue along here, Jaguars Today, Tuesdays on Jaguars Today, brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Got a tweet in from @IrishJaguar. He says, this is what $96 looks like in euros. Happy to help. And they get off easy, Tony. It's only 90.8.89 over there in euros. So I will say, on behalf of Irish Jaguar, I challenge everyone in the Jags, UK contingent, you know who you are. Anyone in Europe.
All right? The Union Jacks.
All the Union Jacks people. We've got Lars in Norway driving his cab right now. We got Cristiano down in Brazil right now. Whether they're listening to the program this moment or whether they're going to hear it later on a replay, get off your duff. All right. Call 904-207-7070. Use that +1 code, or you can go to tcjfund.org and donate at the website as well. Donate what you can, as we give you guys shout outs all the time. Cristiano is going to be our official Pro Bowl correspondent if the Pro Bowl ever goes to Brazil, as they've talked about before. So, you know, we're going to work to get him a credential to cover the Pro Bowl for us in Brazil one day.
Good luck with that.
Yes, I know. he doesn't know how hard that might be. But regardless, all of you out there, the Union Jacks Club, the Bold City Brigade's been challenged. Every listener out there, I challenge you. If you got $5 to spare, we'll take it. It doesn't matter. $50, $5, $500, $5,000, whatever you can do. The goal today is $75,000, but the goal is to never have to deal with it, right? The goal is that one day they'll be able to eradicate a lot of these childhood cancers, but we don't live in that world right now. We live in a world where these people need our help. They're our neighbors. They're our friends. They're our family. Could be you next. You know, there but for the grace of God, right? So sit there. If you're happy, if you're healthy, and your kids are fantastic, you know what? Imagine what you would do if you got the diagnosis. You'd give up anything you had. You'd give your last penny. We're not asking for that. We're asking you to give what you can afford to give, and maybe even a little beyond that. If it hurts a little bit, that's fine. It's that time of year. It's Giving Tuesday here on December 1st. So call 904-207-7070 today to make that donation to the J Fund, asking for a $96 donation. But you give what you can to be there for families here tackling childhood cancer on the First Coast. Let's hear a little bit more from the head coach, Gus Bradley. Guys, getting back to the running game. You know, Gus admitted after the game, probably could have mixed in a few more runs somewhere along the way. Jeff, we talked about the disparity, 55 dropbacks, 12 handoffs to the running backs, and Gus said he does see the advantage of running the ball more.
There was two calls there where it was more of a run-pass option that we didn't get it to him. I think overall, looking at it, in the first half, we had 8 carries for 35 yards. You know, pretty efficient. There was 24 total plays, I think, in the first half. You know, maybe a little bit more than that. But I think there was 18 passes and 8 runs. You know, to give him the ball a little bit more, or running backs the ball a little bit more, you could see the advantage of it.
And it's not just TJ. I mean, Denard came in and showed a little bit of a burst as well. Only got 3 carries, but between the two of them, they had 12 for 59. So they were going at about a 5-yard per carry clip, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was okay, though. I mean, it was kind of, you had a 19-yard run.
Right, and then you some stuff.
Denard, 21-yard run by TJ. Which I think that's the one area that I think needs to get better. I mean, consistently is the run blocking has to be better. You know, I think we have kind of forgotten the loss of Brandon Leonard to this offensive line, to where early in the preseason, early in the season, you had a dependable side to where you said, you know, you can run it and gain yards on that side where you had Brandon Linder and Jeremy Parnell. Now, A.J. Cann is still strong, but he's not Brandon Linder. And I think that Zane Beatles on the left side is doing a very good job in pass protection. But in the run blocking game, you'd like to see him be able to get a little bit more movement than what he's been getting. So, but there's no question you want to have more balance. And when you have balance and you have explosive run plays, and all of a sudden defensive coordinators start getting this thought in their mind that we need to start stacking the box and we need to start worrying about the explosive runs. And then all of a sudden they start running delinquent coverages. And then when you run delinquent coverages, then you have the ability of Allen Robinson to have a 50-50 ball consistently. And the coverage is just not quite as good, you know. So it helps everything when you have a running game that can be dependable. But at the same time, Gus is right in that, you know, you want to have more balance. But I also understand that right now the best thing that they do and the strongest part of their offense is those young wide receivers and a quarterback that's pretty daring.
Yeah, and that was the big disappointment, I guess, with the running game on Sunday is against San Diego, you think you ought to be able to get the running game going, and that should open it up for what you perceive to be your strength on offense, which is being able to pass the ball to these guys who can create matchups on the outside that are to your advantage, but they didn't get the running game going enough to ever take advantage of that.
Same thing against Baltimore. You know, Baltimore was not a particularly strong team, I don't believe, against the run. I thought maybe you could do some good thing. I mean, there's been a couple different teams where you've gone into the game thinking, you know, the Jaguars ought to be able to have success on the ground. And it hasn't been able to happen consistently. When they have had good games and T.J. Yeldon surpassed 100 yards, it's been more of one of those games where it just you had the possessions, you had the number of snaps, and you had the takeaways that kind of led to that big game by T.J. You know, but I think next, I'm not trying to look ahead too much, but I know that next year I think there will be some significant changes up front that I think that will help a consistent running game. And it would be nice to be able to have two punches. You know, all season long, you really haven't had two punches. You've had a healthy T.J. Yeldon, and that's been it, and he's been your best guy. You know, Denard's been hurt.
Right.
Toby's been hurt.
Right.
You know, you really haven't had a full, you know, stable of horses to run the ball with. Now Denard's starting to show some signs. You know, Toby's not going to be in the mix, I don't think, anytime soon. But you definitely need to have a little bit more balance.
All right. If you'd like to get in with Jeff Logman, 641-1010, the number for that. If you'd like to donate to the Tom Coughlin J Fund and be there for families tackling childhood cancer, the number is 904-207-7070. That's 7070, 207-7070, to make a one-time donation of $96 or more if you can, less if that's all you can afford, whatever you can do. We'd appreciate it as we try to hit that goal of $75,000, and that money will directly benefit your friends, your neighbors, your family, people that you know right here on the First Coast, and hopefully lessen their burden as they deal with the diagnosis of childhood cancer. In the meantime, let's get out to Fruit Cove, and Rick's got a question for you, Logs, about the defense. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Jeff, you know, a friend of mine pointed out something at the game last Sunday, that our defense are almost like statues. There's little or no movement. I mean, I know there's that hairy high school stuff with people jumping around all over the place and this, that, and the other, but a guy like Rivers, it just seems like everybody was in cement before the snap. There was no movement, and it kind of looked like it made it easier for him.
Yeah, one of the things that they tried to do in that game, they tried to disguise it a little bit, and then Phillip Rivers ended up kind of making them give away or tip their hand of what they were trying to do defensively, which is, you know, give Phillip Rivers credit. I mean, he knows what to do to be able to get you to tip your hand. But, you know, the Jaguars have a philosophy on defense that's a little bit different. You know, a lot of teams, you know, Rex Ryan defense, I mean, they're all over the place. They line up in one position, and all of a sudden the coverage ends up something totally different than what you see. But they have a philosophy here, and it's the same philosophy that they have in Seattle, is that they want to play fast. They don't play a complex defense. They line up, and what they do is they coach more of the opponent's stuff than they have to do teaching of what they want to do. And it allows them to play fast. It allows them to play knowledgeable, and it allows them to hopefully have success. But I thought the biggest problem in the ball game was because you play that style, you need to be basically running routes for the opponent. And I didn't see that. I thought that the secondary had breakdowns and too many guys running open to where the ball should have been contested more. And that was disappointing because, you know, the one area that has been consistent, even though Josh Evans got a little nicked up in that ball game, the secondary has been very consistent over a number of weeks. But it seemed that there were guys that were missing in spots where they needed to be against a quarterback that you just can't do that against.
More from Jeff Loggeman coming up as Jeff will stay with us here until 11:30 this morning. He's got some duties over at Everbank as we're over at 1010XL World Headquarters today, and Jeff's going to depart then. So if you'd like to get in with Jeff, the next 40 minutes would be the time to do that at 641-1010. We'll also check in on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at the same number. But today, as we get ready to wrap up hour number one of Jaguars Today, we really are encouraging you to support the Tom Coughlin J Fund. Be there for families tackling childhood cancer. Thanks to Kim Buff for sharing her story, and what a great one it is because her son Matthew right now seems to be in a good place after getting diagnosed 7 years ago, I think it was, with leukemia. So a lot of folks out there are still being impacted here on the First Coast and dealing with it on a day-to-day basis. $96. You can fill up a family's gas tank, get their child back and forth from doctor visits. Two donations of $96 enables the Tom Coughlin J Fund to provide a week's worth of groceries so a family doesn't have to choose between medical expenses and putting food on the table. Four people donating $96, that's utilities for a month. A family doesn't have to worry about their power being shut off. Their home can remain safe and comfortable for their sick child. Six people donating $96. You can fund financial game planning for six families to discuss their specific questions with our financial coach to make it through the costly process of childhood cancer. And on it goes. You know, look, anything you can give helps defray some of the expenses and the horror that these people are facing when they get that diagnosis. So support the people right here on the First Coast and give what you can to the J Fund at 904-207-7070. I'm going to go down the hall and make my donation coming up here as we go to break. We'll come back with this date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL. We've also got tickets to the Rugby World Cup qualifier, USA and Jamaica. We'll give you a chance to score some of those tickets coming up in hour number two. So stick around for that with Jeff Loggeman and Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on a Tuesday, brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, on this date in football history. December 1st, let's go back to 1959. A collegiate look at this, actually. The 25th Heisman was awarded on this date in 1959 to Billy Cannon from LSU, the halfback. And his punt return goes down in LSU lore as maybe the greatest play in that program's history back in the day. And also, the 50th Heisman was awarded in this date in 1984 to Doug Flutie of Boston College. And so there you have it, both of those milestones falling on December 1st. 1991, on December 1st, Miami quarterback Dan Marino set an NFL record at the time when he went over 3,000 passing yards for the eighth time in his career in Miami's 33-14 win over Tampa. Remind me, how did his career wrap up, Tony? 62-7, I believe it was. Famous birthday for this day.
90 yards!
90 yards!
Here's the thing. You're talking about Dan Marino, a big deal, passing 3,000
yes,
yards, right?
Like, right.
What is Blake Bortles, 48 yards away from 3,000
right.
yards?
Yeah.
How has the game changed?
And the game's changed crazily, right? I mean, you would expect if Blake plays eight healthy seasons, he'd match that no problem right out of the gates. That's kind of the NFL we live in today, which really, you go back, it makes Marino's 1984 season all that more remarkable, throwing for 5,000 yards that far ahead of the curve. 1986, DeSean Jackson, I believe Tony's favorite player. Am I correct about that?
I still hate him.
Say nice things. It's J-Fun Day. You can't say one nice thing about DeSean Jackson.
Donate $96 because you hate DeSean Jackson.
How about this?
Clown again, he had the touchdown this weekend where he's just running down the goal line. I can't stand that guy.
If you donate $96 and call in right now, Tony will say something nice about DeSean Jackson.
I'll find something nice
to
say.
We will twist his arm. He's 29 years old. Happy birthday, DeSean. Love you, babe. All right, that is this date in football. It's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. License number CCC056797. If you've got roofing concerns for your house, your place of business, or you don't want to have those concerns, get it checked out by Bob Roberts. Re-roofs, repairs, you name it, he's got you covered. 287-7756 for First Coast Roofing, presenting this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
As was expected, as of yesterday morning, the MRI on New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski's injured right knee showed a minor knee strain. He is now considered week to week. He's not expected to play this week against the Philadelphia Eagles. It's reported to be a pain tolerance issue for Gronk when he's going to be able to return. Arizona Cardinals running back Chris Johnson is expected to miss an extended time with a fractured tibia, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter as well. Johnson, surprisingly, is currently fourth in the National Football League in rushing yards with 814 yards after being signed very late in the offseason this year by Arizona, but has had a really productive year out there in the desert for them, so we'll see where the running game goes for them from there. But more importantly, again, today is the Tom Coughlin J-Fund Radiothon. We're asking for one-time gifts of $96 at 904-207-7070 to help families on the First Coast that are dealing with cancer. We've had one challenge already today to the Bold City Brigade. We know you're out there listening, BCB, and it's about Duval County. It's about the families that we have here in Jacksonville in this area. And we had one member, Desert in Flight, out in Arizona, part of the BCB out there, who challenged everyone to match his donation of $120 there with the Bold City Brigade. We just had another challenge come in via the phone lines in the back. Rochelle Patel has challenged the entire University of Florida Health Ophthalmology residents to make a $96 donation to match his just moments ago. So UF Health Ophthalmology is now on the table as well.
You know what? Do that, and I will even say something nice about the Gators. What would that be?
Oh, he's got to dig deep.
What would that be?
Is that possible for me?
Yes.
You got to make him dig deep.
Let's see.
Tebow's a nice guy.
Tebow is a nice guy, and apparently he's a guy who sticks to his vows, apparently, because Miss Universe was getting antsy, and Tebow's a man of his word. I love my sister. She graduated from the University of Florida circa 1987, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. She walked with Ricky Natiel in his class that day. I remember that. So it was a lovely day. Ricky Natiel looked splendid in his cap and gown. See how nice I can be on Tom Coughlin J-Fun Radiothon Day? I can be nice to anybody.
We'll make him say something really nice if you donate now. Just tell him in the back you want a compliment to the Florida Gators.
Right. You really pretty much can get me to say anything you want. If you make the donation, have them take down what you want me to say, good or bad. I can go either way. I don't care. I can just say just about anything. Tony supports the J Fund. Jeff, I know you just gave a large donation recently to the J Fund. We try to put our money where our mouth is.
Absolutely.
We're not just asking you to do it, and we're going to do it ourselves. I just made a $200 donation to the J Fund. So I will challenge listeners out there, five of you in the next 10 minutes, be one of five people that matches that $200 donation. Let's raise a quick $1,000 for the J Fund. We're trying to do 75,000 plus today. You guys, through your generosity, I say you guys, all the people listening across the First Coast of 1010XL, and you are legion. You know that right now. And look, if you like this program, maybe you love XL Primetime, maybe you love the Frangie Show, you've already had the drill on, maybe Tony Show Night. I don't care when you do it. Just do it. Find a time today when you can call 904-207-7070. But I'd love for five of you, I'd love to hear that five of you in the next 10 minutes match my $200 donation. And when you do, give them something you want me to say, whether it's to pub you, to say something nice about your favorite player, to maybe shut up for 30 seconds and let somebody else speak for a change, Jeff. I don't know if that's possible, but I'll do what I can on that score.
Look, the odds of anybody out there that is listening to us right now not having been impacted somehow in their family by cancer are probably pretty low. It's an almost universal thing at this point that you're going to have to deal with it at some point, or you have already dealt with it. And just put yourself in the shoes. If it's been a grandparent, a parent, somebody like that, that has had to fight this thing, put yourself in the shoes of having to deal with that if it's your child. And just the impact that that would have on you, the impact that it had on, I know for me, I had a grandmother who died because of breast cancer, and it was watching her struggle through that was awful, but she had her whole family. She knew what was going on. She knew what she was dealing with. We're talking about children that are having to deal with and families that have to put everything else aside to be there for that child. This today, it's about giving you an opportunity here in the Northeast Florida area to support these families who desperately need help at this time. And whether it's just, again, to get groceries or gas or to give them the financial planning that they need to be able to get back on their feet when this whole thing is done, it's all important, and you can make that difference today.
You know what was impressive when Kim was on, Kim Duff, and she talked about how she was in Minnesota and knew about the J Fund before even coming here.
Right.
And that was one of the reasons that kind of helped them come here was the awareness of the J Fund. And you know, when you asked her, you know, how did it help you, she talked about how the other children that are not affected by cancer, but the other ones, how it helps them with the support group and that the kids feel left out. And I just the emotional support that the Tom Coughlin J Fund can provide above and beyond paying for an electric bill or a grocery bill or everything else. I mean, it's hard to put a number on things like that, but it's a total asset to our community.
Absolutely. I would wager to say, Tony, that if you donate $200 in the next 10 minutes or so and ask that Jeff Logman say something nice about the Virginia Tech Hokies, we may even be able to get that.
I would absolutely say that.
See?
I would absolutely say that.
Virginia Cav grad, he would do it for the greater good of the First Coast.
I would say good things about their academic program.
See?
But I do have a lot of good things to say, and congratulations to Frank Beamer.
Right.
Now, I actually got to know Frank, my old coach at Virginia, for a long time, ended up being on Frank Beamer's staff, and I got to know Frank pretty well. And he is one of the classiest guys you will ever meet. And I hope that one day the proud program of the University of Virginia might find a coach as good as Frank Beamer.
Well, there you go. That is a nice thing to say. That's a preemptive strike by Jeff Logman.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be worth a couple $100 to some Hokie fan out there. Hopefully you recorded that. If you didn't, we'll send you the audio file. you can hold it over Jeff for the rest of his time here in Jacksonville. By the way, we're not only asking today, we're also giving. We've got some tickets that we're going to give away. As a matter of fact, I got a four-pack right now. If you'd like to go see the USA National Rugby League squad try to qualify for the World Cup, they're taking on Jamaica this Friday night over at Hodges Stadium on the UNF campus. Right now, be the third caller at 641-1010. We'll hook you up with a four-pack of tickets. And, you know, if you want to then turn around and say, wow, I just saved, that's like $40 right there I just saved on those tickets, call 904-207-7070. If you want to then turn around and make a donation, that's on you. But right now, third caller at 641-1010. Hook you up with a four-pack of tickets to see USA and Jamaica Mon this Friday night.
I just got a text. Okay. Billy Nimnick.
Yes.
The Nimnick family of dealerships.
Love them.
$500.
Billy Nimnick.
Awesome.
Good man, Billy Nimnick. We appreciate you, brother. Thank you very much. And by the way, I know you heard David Garrard bringing us back out of break a minute ago. DG, we know you got that big $60 million contract. You got to have $200 left over, brother. I'm not opposed to putting the strong arm on David Garrard. David Garrard, Donovan Darius, Jimmy Smith, all you former Jaguar friend of the programs out there, you call up right now, too, at 904-207-7070. In all seriousness, those guys and many other former Jaguars donate and give a lot of support to the J Fund, which tells you about their relationship. What do we have coming in here, Tony?
Josh Scobie has thrown down a challenge.
There's another one.
He will, quote, kick in $500 if someone will match with another $500 gift right now.
And
that's a great job.
That is great job, Josh Scobie, all right? And that doesn't count to Billy Nimnick's donation, which he already gave.
He already gave.
We need another person to call up right now and tell them you want to match Josh Scobie right now. How good a guy is Josh Scobie right now, all right? Josh Scobie, who could turn his back on the area if he wanted to, because he got, you know, sent off, and that's kind of the nature of football. But
Josh would never do that.
I'm just saying he could, you know, if he's not that kind of guy is the point. And he's showing it right there with his generosity, giving $500 to the J Fund, only if somebody's willing to match that in the next few minutes. So call right now at 904-207-7070. We'll mention your name on the air. We'll mention anything you want on the air within reason.
Oh, we got a request.
Okay. Oh, well, we'll get to that in a second. But we'll, you know, whatever you want, just tell them you're matching Josh Scobie. You donate $500, and Josh Scobie will match you then, and that's a quick $1,000 benefiting families on the First Coast. What do we got?
Duval Doom.
All right, my man. You're already out of my Twitter block file.
Has made his donation, and he wanted to do it with, you know, the caveat of asking you to say something. He wants 5 minutes on why J.J. Watt is ridiculously overrated.
5 minutes? 5 minutes. All right, just for you, Doom, I'm not going to do 5 minutes, but I'm going to say that this guy, Jeff, is all style, no substance. Really, honestly, quarterbacks just seem to lay down for the guy, right? Right tackles must have some kind of pay-for-play agreement with him because, I mean, all he's got is speed, right? He doesn't bull rush anybody, right? He just tries to run around everybody out there. He's too pretty to play the position. He's chasing after Rory McIlroy's ex-girlfriend. What is he thinking? I mean, J.J. Watt, clearly the most overrated player, perhaps in the history of sports, not just the National Football League.
Oh.
Right? I mean, look, I don't, whatever it takes, baby. Thank you, Duval Doom, for your donation out there. We know you've supported the J Fund for a long time, and we appreciate that. See, I can't go 5 minutes, but I'll give you as much as I possibly can. Duval Doom also wants to know, how much does Scobie need to come back on Twitter? He's maybe willing to get the fund going as far as that goes, but it would go towards the J Fund.
I'm sure Josh might get back on for $500.
There you go. Make a $500. We'll first things first, match. Make a $500 donation. Say you're matching Josh Scobie, and Josh will match you then in turn with that $500. It'll be like you're donating $1,000, and we appreciate you there, Josh. We got a winner for the tickets, right? We good on the tickets? All set. So we got some more tickets we'll give away a little bit later on. We'll do it all throughout the week as well. If you want to go see the USA play Jamaica in the World Cup Rugby Qualifier coming up this Friday at Hodges Stadium. And they'll also play the following weekend against Canada. We'll have tickets for that one next week for you as well. With Jeff Logman, with Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Again, give and give and give some more. Whatever you can do, the 2015 Tom Coughlin J Fund Radiothon. Be there for families tackling childhood cancer. Give a one-time gift of $96 or whatever you can at 904-207-7070. With Jeff Logman, with Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. More Jaguars today in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more with Jeff Logman, brought to you by Roland Reach Plumbing on Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hi, Tuesdays here on Jaguars Today, brought to you by our friends at Kenny Lay and Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Logman, Fat Tony, talking Jags, talking J-Fund with you, Loggy. I know you got to get out here shortly. Before we get back to the J-Fund in a moment, and again, the number that's important today is 904-207-7070. Make a one-time or, as Tom Coughlin said, a recurring donation of $96. It's up to you. Give what you can. Give $10. Give $10,000. Give something in between. That'd be fantastic. Josh Scobie's looking for a matching donor for $500. We just got $500 from Billy Nimnick, which is outstanding. Tony DeSimone over at Tony D's told me he's going to make a nice big donation as well. Tony D's Pizza, which has long been established as the best in town.
It is fantastic.
Honestly, people are like, how do you sound so convincing pitching Tony D's Pizza? It's because you're just talking about it. You're not really pitching it. It sells itself pretty much.
Two for one tonight, too.
Gotta love it, man.
I actually found it kind of by happenstance one time, and I pulled in. I said, trying to find a place to eat. And I said, this is why I hear advertising on 1010. You know, so I went in and got a pizza. I was like, oh, my God.
Unbelievable, man. I mean, he actually drives to New York to get ingredients, so it's like authentic New York pizza. He makes regular trips up there. It loads up the car. He's like, yeah, it's only like 17 hours. They go straight through. You know, I'm like, well, you're nuts. You're insane. He's a beast, and it is the best pizza in town, and we appreciate his support. Jeff, but final few minutes here thinking about the Jags before we welcome in our next guest, Chris Walker, who's going to talk about the J-Fund's impact on his family. Going forward here, these final five games, certainly, you want to win as many games as you possibly can, but for the Jags, it is a bit of a blow, obviously, with Indy and Houston winning this week. The players know what position they were in, and they know how important that game was to get away. How difficult do you think is it for them to bounce back, or is it something that week to week, maybe fans, it's more difficult for them to bounce back sometimes than it is for the players?
It's probably more difficult from a fan standpoint, because I think, you know, the big picture for this football team is that you got to look at what you're trying to build. You know, you're trying to build something for the future. You know, this football team, the core of it is all in its second and third year. You know, so they're not looking at just this year. They're looking at trying to build, you know, a team that can own the division. And if you're going to own the division, you have to continue to take steps to get into that direction. So I don't think it's going to be an issue for this football team. I mean, you go back to the last 2 years and look at how this team played down the stretch when there was absolutely nothing to play for, and this team was not very good, but they continued to give great effort. So I don't think that's going to be an issue whatsoever. I'm looking forward to watching how they finish up, you know, as far as the improvement that they can make, because, you know, this team is relatively healthy, you know, which is kind of surprising, and probably one of the healthiest teams in the league. It's just young. And so I want to see how much they improve, because what you finish up with in 1 year rolls over into what you build for the following year. It is critical for this football team to finish strong.
Good to see Julius Thomas explode. I didn't know if it was coming this week, but I'm not worried about him. You know what I mean? I know some people have been like, ah, the investment, I can't believe it, we're not getting it. He's a product of Peyton Manning. He's all this. Julius Thomas, all you need to do is put your eyes on him and watch how he moves. The guy's got it. Yeah. And it was nice to see he and Blake Bortles get on the same page.
I think part of it was them trying to understand how they needed to use him. You know, for the first couple weeks, they're splitting him out wide. That's not what he does best. What he does best is in the core of a defense. You know, where the quarterback can see it basically from tight end to tight end,
right,
and stay in that box area. The challenge for this team, I think, going forward, depending upon what happens with Allen Hurns this week, is how to utilize all of the wide receivers. And I think that in the last 2 weeks, they got away from what has been a strength for them, and that maybe trying to push the ball to Julius Thomas, trying to push the ball to Marquise Lee, have place for those guys. You got to stay with what you are. You can't worry about Rashad Green. You can't worry about Marquise Lee. If they can contribute in some fashion, great. But you can't try to force the ball and get them touches in the game just because you want to try to utilize them.
Right. Feed the guys that have been your proven playmakers.
Absolutely.
All year long.
And then I'll let the other ones earn their way. Hopefully everything is okay with Allen Hurns. Had a little bit of a flashback on Sunday. And the reason I say that is Sunday was the 23-year anniversary to the Dennis Byrd injury. And to see that happen to Allen Hurns kind of brought back a lot of memories in my mind. And but it was great to see that Allen is okay, but it's a scary thing in football.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of come and becoming an all-too-common thing is the head injuries, you know?
You know, and it happens in an instant, which is a parallel to, let's welcome in our next guest, Chris Walker, here. You get a diagnosis of childhood cancer in your family, and your world is changed completely. In that one instance, in football, you understand the risks. In life, you know there's risks, but I'm sure as a parent, you don't think it's going to happen to your kid. And let's welcome in Chris Walker. Chris, good morning. Thanks for taking a few minutes out with us. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Thanks for discussing the J Fund.
You got it, man. Tell us about Natalie, who is 6 years old right now. She was 2 years old when she was diagnosed with Burkitt lymphoma. Just take us through that process and that moment and the realization that this was something that's going to impact your life.
She was actually a week from her second birthday. She kind of had like flu-like symptoms, but without the fever. So we just really thought it was the flu. So my wife took her to the doctor. Next thing we knew, we were on our way to the emergency room. Once we were at the emergency room, they started talking about oncology and surgery and tumors being on her ovaries. Burkitt's lymphoma is actually the fastest growing childhood cancer that you can have. She went from perfectly healthy to stage 3 cancer in 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, believe it or not, having that type of cancer is actually, they say, the cancer you want. If you had to get a cancer, they say you want Burkitt's lymphoma because it reacts so well to treatment. Now, the treatment is a lot harsher and a lot quicker, so there's a lot more complications. But it does react a lot quicker. So immediately she was put onto chemo. I think the first stint we were in the hospital, we didn't leave the hospital for 33, 35 days straight. We were in the hospital.
How did you hear about the J Fund, Chris? And just talk a little bit about how they were able to be there for you and your family, and especially your daughter, Natalie, during this whole process.
Well, once she got her initial diagnosis, me and my wife just looked at each other and said, we're not leaving her side. So to be honest with you, we were fully prepared to take all the financial hit that we were going to take. We were in the middle of working on trying to sell our home in the middle of the home crisis where homes weren't worth what they were. It just happened to be one of the Wolfson's social workers that told us about the J Fund. To be honest with you, I didn't have a clue how many kids deal with childhood cancer, and I didn't know nothing about the J Fund. I'm ashamed to say it now. But they stepped in and said, this organization is here, and they're the best organization we've ever dealt with. They will help you pay bills if you need them to help. the J Fund actually paid my mortgage for 3 months. I didn't work for 3 months. My wife didn't work for 3.5. They saved us financially. We have recently sold the home that we were trying to sell and have just moved into a brand new home. Without them, we couldn't have done that. We would have fought to get out of that financial hole if we had to, but they were there to lift us up and didn't ask anything in return. And we love to help and give back to them when we can.
One of the things they provide is financial coaching assistance, right? Is that something that directly impacted you guys as you found yourself in this circumstance, as you said, trying to sell your home and you're dealing with all these issues at the same time?
The financial coaching was awesome. One of the things that happens when your kid is in the hospital, they see so many doctors and you just see so many people, the bills just start rolling in. And you just start to kind of panic and you're trying to pay what you can to each and every person. And, you know, the J Fund pulled us to the side and said, these kind of bills are not the bills that you need to be focused on. These are not bills that can bury you. The bills that can bury you are the ones that are going to hit you with late fees and go against your credit. And you really don't think about that. I think, by the end of it, our insurance paid out over $200,000 when it came to, Natalie's treatment. We paid out well over $4,000, I believe, in just our out of pocket cost. But we would have panicked and just started, because literally so many bills hit you from so many different places. You can't even remember the doctors that you're getting bills from.
Do they help you? Because a lot of times when you're dealing with insurance, sometimes it's overwhelming. And part of that financial coaching was the understanding of that big in that process.
They help you understand where your how your co-pays work, how your what your percentages are. Those kind of, I mean, they'll help you any financial question that you have. They're just there for you. Any question that you have, or if you just need someone to talk to, they're there to help you.
Amazing. I mean, a lot of people don't even think about this, the help and gaining the understanding of the finances, you know, something like that, because, I mean, you know, most people aren't prepared to understand that.
No doubt.
You know?
And it's an overlooked thing. And it's one of the things, like you said, you wouldn't know what to think of in that moment. You're overwhelmed. But that's the J Fund has thought of all these things. And they probably didn't know all the things that they were getting into when they started, but they have years of experience now and they're in position to be able to help families.
No doubt. The most important question,
yes.
How is Natalie doing now?
She is medically considered cancer free.
That's awesome.
Doctors don't like to use those kind of terms, but she goes back once a year now just to follow up on some of the medications she took that could affect her heart. But she hasn't had any indication that any of that stuff has done anything that to her. She has a lot more ability to express herself emotionally now, which was one thing she wasn't able to do when she was young. She can tell you when she's hurting, and she's not afraid to tell you what's going on. She's awesome.
You told us she's all girl too, right?
She's all girl, bro. she tells me all the time, don't rush a woman.
she's 6 years old, man. You're in trouble in about 10 years, pal. I tell you what, Chris, that is so phenomenal, man. Just get, look, your story is your pitch. Your life is your pitch, and we're happy for you and Natalie and your whole family. But tell people you've got this platform right now in the next 30 to 60 seconds. Why is it important for someone listening right now who may not be impacted by this directly to be there for people who are?
I can tell you, because you never know if it's ever going to hit home. You never know if it's going to hit one of your own kids. I've seen kids in the hospital at 18 years old talking about they need to, you know, they may need to remove a leg to stop something from growing. It means the world to families to know that people are out there helping them and they're not going to ruin themselves financially trying to dig out of a hole that they didn't ask for.
We're very happy for you, man. I'm going to get choked up here. But little 6-year-old girl, the whole life ahead of her, and thankfully she does. And hopefully it's a long, long one. Hopefully when she's 96 years old, she can tell stories about, oh yeah, I remember that time when I kicked cancer's ass when I was a little kid, man. That's phenomenal, Chris. We're very happy for you. If you'd like to help people just like Chris, they're your neighbors. They're right here on the First Coast, 904-207-7070. That's the number. As Chris said, it may not impact you now. You never know when it could. Even if it doesn't, we hope it doesn't. It's going to impact somebody you know directly. And don't wait until that moment to do something. There are people who are being impacted by it every single day, and it's ongoing. So do what you can, 904-207-7070. And if it's not today, at some point, go to tcjfund.org. They do great work around the calendar and do such phenomenal events, fun stuff. There are many ways for you to get involved with the J Fund. We appreciate your story, Chris, and best to you and your family. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you got it. Logs, I know you got to get out of here. Appreciate what you've done for the J Fund and for this show, obviously,
and
in the past.
Look forward to continuing to do it.
No doubt, brother. All right, get out of here, and we'll look for you and listen for you coming up this week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday here on Jaguars Today. Mark Herzlich of the New York Giants, linebacker, who's had his own cancer story.
Yes, he has.
Plays for Tom Coughlin. He's going to call in next in just a moment. Matter of fact, he called in a few minutes ago. We'll get to him coming up, and we'll give you an update on where the donations stand as well. 904-207-7070. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, back with more Jaguars Today on a Tuesday, brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, here's the power of the J-Bun, Tony. And we'll get to some donations that just came rolling in a moment. But while we had Chris Walker on, Mark Herzlich, Eli Manning's teammate with the New York Giants and a cancer survivor himself, called in. We told him, call back. Call back. We're talking to Chris Walker here. Are you kidding me? We got to get Chris Walker on the line. And Mark Herzlich is good enough to call back. And he has got an impressive challenge that he's going to throw out there. Mark, thanks for taking a few minutes with us. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
We're very happy to have you represent. This has got to be something. It's such a great confluence of events. You go to Boston College where Tom Coughlin coached, and you're a cancer survivor, and you know what he has done with the J Fund for families of cancer victims or people who have been stricken with a diagnosis of a childhood cancer. It just seems like you were meant to be in that position to help out on this.
It really all came together nicely in order for me to help out with this amazing cause. And I knew about Jay McGillis while I was going to BC, and we have our spring game every year, and one senior defensive back wears Jay's number in honor of him. And so I knew all about Jay, and I knew all about Jay's story really even before I was diagnosed with cancer. And then fighting through in a very similar fashion that Jay did, I became very close to the McGillis family up at Boston College, and now, you know, continuing his legacy down in the New York area.
Giants linebacker Mark Herzlich joining us here on the program on Jaguars Today, and I know we talked to a bunch of families from around the First Coast that have been impacted by the J Fund every year, but you have your own story. You've dealt with your own cancer and trying to rebound from that. Can you just talk a little bit about the diagnosis and just the process, the things that you go through emotionally when you get a diagnosis like cancer?
Well, it's something that it makes you kind of stop in your tracks and reevaluate kind of where you are and kind of where you want to be and what things are important to you. And that's what happened for me. I was diagnosed at age 21 with bone cancer. I was basically told I'd never be able to run again or play sports, and that would be if I survived. I think at that point I'm a senior in college, and all I thought about was that I was going to be going to play in the NFL, and really that stuff was taken away. It was basically put your dreams on hold and start fighting this thing that you didn't ask for, you didn't deserve to get, nothing you did caused it, but this is something you got to deal with. And so it can kind of go one of two ways. You can either get the diagnosis and say, all right, well, this is what's going to happen to me, and this is going to be the end of my dreams and change who I am completely. Or you can say, okay, I'm going to still be the person I am. I'm going to still keep the dreams and the hope alive, but I know that I have to get over this obstacle first. And that's what my family was able to kind of helped me with, and my teammates at Boston College, and that's what the J Fund is trying to do to, you know, children and families all over that get that diagnosis, and they don't want them to feel like, okay, you know, this is the end of our dreams. This is it. It's over. They want them to have that hope and continue to be able to be the people that they are and the families that they are by providing support, by providing, you know, financial counseling and meal services and rides to hospitals so that they continue their treatments and continue to be healthy later.
Yeah, and just that emotional support and that belief. And I know you believed in yourself. You said you were going to come back, and I got to believe the power of positive thinking plays a role in this, and I think that's something that the J Fund can help provide you. When you lessen the financial and the emotional burden to some degree on these families, Mark, it's got to be easier to start to think positively about the situation that you're in.
It absolutely does. I know we didn't have when I was going through it back down in the Philadelphia area, there was no J Fund, you know, down there at that time. And, you know, it was my community. Really, we would have not been able to gotten through it without people helping us and supporting us. We had, you know, we called it a magical cooler. Like, we put a Gatorade cooler out behind our house and go to chemotherapy in the morning and come back, and they'd be filled with food because people in our community, people that knew my family, would drop off meals for us so that we were able to eat a good, healthy meal at the end of the day without my mom having to worry about when she was going to cook, where she was going to get the food from. And she was able to care for me as a patient and as her child. And that, when I was going through it, there's tons of different charities out there to support research and raising money for the next new great cure, which is awesome. But I had a lady come up to me and said, you know, there's got to be something that can help the families. And this was before I came to the Giants. This was before I became very involved with the J Fund. And this is the answer. This is what that woman wanted. This is the kind of starting point, the launching point for these families to feel comfortable and confident in their treatment.
Yeah, you know, we've said it often about Tom Coughlin. He's won a couple of Super Bowls. He's one day going to get enshrined in Canton, Ohio in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for all his accomplishments as a head coach. But this is his true life's work. This is what his greatest legacy will ultimately be. And Mark, I know you're trying to help us and encourage people to reach that goal today of $75,000 here on the First Coast. And what are you willing to do to embarrass yourself if we're able to reach that number?
Yeah, you know, people know I'm willing to do pretty much anything to embarrass myself. But for this one, I'm got an ugly sweater picked out and gonna, you know, dress up in my Christmas worsts and post out a picture on social media for everyone to see and laugh at. But that's if we get to that 75,000. So I'm hoping I get to wear the sweatshirt and post it out tomorrow. So everybody start donating.
I don't know if anyone's got a big enough one for me. I'd certainly be willing to join you on that score, though.
There we go.
You know, I will have to find a big,
I already got a
ugly
couple. I know you can't fit in any of mine.
Yeah, I won't fit in any of yours, dude. But, Mark, we're happy for you that you continue to be cancer-free and you get to continue your dream of playing professional football and for the work that you do to support the J Fund. And we know you know how important that work is directly. And, don't, you know, we won't let anybody know that Tom's a big old softy on the inside. He will continue to be the gruff sideline general that he has been his entire career. But we know the true story of Tom Coughlin, Mark. We appreciate you lending your support here to the J Fund Radiothon and continued success for you. And let's get Mark in that ugly, nasty, hideous holiday sweater. Mark, thank you so much, buddy.
Guys, have a good one.
All right, Mark Herzlich, formerly of Boston College, where obviously he knew the story of Jay McGillis, which is a great story, Tony, that his uniform number gets worn to this day.
Yeah.
To honor him. Now, let me note a couple of things here. One, Tealpocalypse, a great supporter of the program, tweeted in his picture of his receipt. He said he donated $117. I don't know how he came to that figure. I don't care. That's a great number.
Awesome.
117 is a beautiful number, and thank you for your donation. He said, I've done my part. Again, understand the Bull City Brigade has been challenged early on by Jagan Flight to match his $120 donation. We've all made our own donations around here as well, and there's plenty of time. All day long, this is going to go on. We've got some other news on the donation front that just came in as well.
Yeah, that BCB thing, that doesn't end at noon, guys.
No, no, no.
That's all day long. We'll keep it going up until 10 o'clock tonight, and heck, we'll keep it going through the rest of the year. Donate whenever you can, but we do have a couple pieces of information coming in. A silent donor has matched Scobie's $500 gift, so Scobie's gift has been matched at $500. We also have Dan, who called up and he said $500 just wasn't enough. He'll kick in the extra point as well, a $600 donation from Dan.
I don't know if Dan understands how football works, all right? You get six, and then you get the seventh would be the extra point, but Dan, we appreciate
it. That's good enough.
Hey,
and also,
you know, we'll pretend Myers missed one.
Here we go. We got another request for you to comment on something, Mike.
Oh, do
tell. Via donation. Derek Stewart.
This is going to be good.
Has given $200.
Derek's a big-time supporter
of
the program.
Thank you, Derek. And he wants your comments on why the Iowa Hawkeyes deserve to be in the college football playoffs.
This is actually an easy one. I believe they do deserve to be. And this is a piece of cake. They're a Power Five conference right now, undefeated. Now they've got to beat Michigan State to fully deserve their spot in there. But this is easy. Anybody, I don't care if it's Vanderbilt, Tony, for
goodness
sake.
Yeah, baby.
You roll the table in one of the Power Five conferences, you deserve a seat at the table. That's flat out the bottom line. I didn't make Iowa's schedule. Iowa, every time I look up, is playing pretty dominant football. And I actually was thinking about this last night. I probably watch less college football this year than I have in a while because we do a lot of NFL stuff. We work quite a bit during the season. And
sure,
I got to have a little family time outside of my 3 hours of Florida State viewing every Saturday. I haven't watched an Iowa game from start to finish, but I have been impressed with them. They look big. They look physical. And, you know, look, last year, who thought Ohio State deserved a spot in there? And they came in and they knocked around Alabama and Oregon. Why can't Iowa do the same thing? We'll find out. Certainly, if they beat Michigan State, there's no question. Does anybody dispute that at this point in time?
I don't think they should. If that's an undefeated 13-0 Iowa team, they ought to be in the college football playoff.
You're going to find four teams more deserving than an undefeated Big Ten champion?
I do not think so. The couple of challenges we still have going on is we are going to welcome in the boys of XL Primetime here in just a moment. Rashil Patel challenged the entire UF Health Ophthalmology residents to make a $96 donation. That challenge still on the table. And we mentioned the Bold City Brigade. We know you're out there. We know you're listening. We know you love the show, the program. Support your city. Duval till we die. It continues today with the Tom Coughlin J Fund at 207-7070. You've been challenged to donate $120 to match Jagan Flight's donation, Bold City Brigade. So get to work, boys. Help these families in our own backyard as they deal with childhood cancer.
Hey, we certainly understand if you don't have the financial wherewithal right now to do that, but hey, do you have 10 bucks? Do you have 20? Maybe skip a movie out, right? One fast food meal for the week. I mean, that's all it takes. Just skip one thing, give up one, make one small sacrifice and give, and you know, there but for the grace of God, man. That's what I always say every year that we do this. I've got an 11-year-old son and we've been doing this radiothon for a number of years now, and every time I can't help but think the devastation that hearing that diagnosis would bring to my family, and the strength that these families show and these family members that come in year after year that have dealt with this is truly inspiring to me and humbling. And you know, these people, truly, they're walking down the street right next to you. You don't even know what they're dealing with. They could be your next door neighbor. They could be a family member. They could be you. And let's hope it's not. Let's hope it's no one. Let's hope we get to the point where the J Fund is a silly, archaic idea that is no longer necessary, and they move on to supporting some other great function. But for now, it is a very vital, necessary piece, and we're so lucky that Tom Coughlin started it here in Jacksonville and that he continued that legacy in Jacksonville. Even though Tom Coughlin left, his legacy has continued to grow, and through his family, which helps administer the J Fund, everybody who volunteers and helps out with the J Fund, the fact that they can give over 90 cents on every dollar that comes in, well over 90 cents on every dollar, to actual families, that the administrative costs are so minimal to run the J Fund. The support that you give cannot be overestimated. It is absolutely amazing. I've seen it firsthand. I've heard the stories now year after year after year. Just think about that. If you've got a kid right now, let's say you got a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old or whatever age, and they're perfectly healthy, thank your lucky stars. And how much better is it for you to be writing the check than needing to receive that check? So be thankful that you're in that position, that you're not in need of the J Fund, but that if you are in position to help somebody out with the J Fund, listen to those stories that we heard today from Chris Walker and Kim Buff on what that can do to really tear a family apart, and how difficult and how many unseen, hidden things that you never knew were going to crop up, things you would never think of. The J Fund helps you think of those things, and it helps you navigate those waters. So do what you can. We ask you every year. Always respond with great generosity, and we're going to ask you again. And guess what? We're going to be back. Unless they eradicate cancer, we'll be back again doing it next year. So I'm not going to say it's the last time I'm going to have my hand out. I do it every single year. I don't mind. I'll beg. I'll do whatever you want me to do. In fact, if you want to call in any more donations on this show's behalf and make a wish list of anything you want us to say on your behalf coming up, they're happy to get those in throughout the course of the rest of the week. We do have another four-pack of tickets I'd like to give away as we go out on our final break here and get set to welcome in the boys of XL Primetime. So if you'd like to go see the United States National Rugby Team, Rugby League squad, try to qualify for the World Cup in their first contest against Jamaica this Friday night at Hodges Stadium on the campus of UNF. Be the third caller at 641-1010, and we'll hook you up with a four-pack of tickets for that. And then if you're so inclined and you're happy for our generosity, turn around, pick up the phone, call 904-207-7070. That's 7070, 904-207-7070. Make a donation of $96 to the J Fund. That to represent the 96 families that are impacted every year on average with a diagnosis of childhood cancer here on the First Coast. You want to give $296, you want to give $9,600, you want to give $10,000, you want to give $2. We'll take anything that you can give, and we'll happily pass that along to the folks at the J Fund. So call that number all day long. We really encourage you to do that. We've got XL Primetime coming up. We've got the Frank Franchi Show with Rick Ballew and company coming up. Tony, I know you've got Fat Tuesday coming up tonight. I assume, like last year, we're going to continue the J Fund solicitations. We've got Helmets and Heels tonight. We've got your show. So it'll go on all day. Make a donation to spite me. If you don't like me, make a donation. If you like me, make a donation. Same with all the hosts here. We're just here trying to entertain you and keep you informed on your teams. We realize how fortunate we are to have a silly, basically meaningless job in the big picture. The J Fund is anything but meaningless, so we appreciate those guys. I know I'm going way over time here, but I think the boys of XL Primetime will excuse me when we talk to them on the other side. Again, 904-207-7070. Make that donation. Call now. Do not wait. Get off your duff. Make it. Don't think about it any longer. You know it's for a good cause. Help the people out, because you'd need their, if you were in that position, you'd be so grateful for the help that was coming in, and the J Fund will continue to provide that assistance. Thanks to Jeff Lagerman for coming in today. Thanks again to Chris Walker, who we just heard from a moment ago. Happy to hear that his daughter, Natalie, at the age of 6, is currently cancer-free. Also from Kim Buff, who was able to come in, the mother of Matthew, at the age of 15 now, in great shape as well after being diagnosed at the age of 8, and new First Coast residents and every other family out there impacted by the J Fund. God bless all of you, and all of you who've supported the J Fund, not only today but over the years. We thank you wholeheartedly from the bottom of our hearts. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and even for Joe Fortunato, got an easy day today over at EverBank. That's going to do it. I'm Mike Dempsey, signing off for Jaguars Today. XL Primetime coming up next on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.